Hello and welcome to Building Your T-Shirt Empire. My name's Cole and this is Gavin. Gavin, say hello to the people.
What's up? What's up, everybody?
So, Gavin, I haven't done anything for 7 days and I'm assuming the entire world ended, right? Like the screen printing industry just has nothing to do for the end of December.
That's how I was feeling, man. I was like, are we going to be here next week?
Yeah, right. Is there anything to go back to?
I know, because I was like, oh man, did AI finally caught up and just quit all the jobs? Because like, we usually get a lot of jobs that comes into the queue and then It was just dead. It was just quiet, super, super quiet. I mean, I had like mentally prepared for it. I thought I did, but like When the reality came, it was just weird, man. Just not, because we're so used to having a certain number on the queue and the guys are busy and I'm like, you know, energy's high. Hey, me yelling at somebody. I had nothing to like complain about.
No one
about.
To yell at.
Why did you mess up that step? So we're like, what's going on? I didn't get that. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a good time to go over like strategies and processes and kind of prepare yourself for when you're busy again. But I'm just wondering how much this is seasonal, which there is some truth to seasonal slowdown, and how much this is like a larger problem where the industry as a whole is slowed down. Like I remember when we were talking about that Custom Ink layoff.
Yeah, that's a crazy, crazy shakeup that's going on right now with Custom Ink. As you guys know, Custom Ink is one of the biggest company, if not the biggest company in just selling t-shirts online. One of the things that you've done really good was their marketing is really good. They show up all over Google. They have a lot of ads, so they've been able to like grab a big market share into this game. And I know there's a lot of screen printers that just hate Custom Inks, right? They really, really hate Custom Ink because they're a big bad wolf
competitor,
right? But so if you're a screen printer and you hate Custom Ink, I guess this is good news for you, but it's really terrible news in the sense Custom Ink had to lay off a bunch of people. They cut over 200 plus jobs, right? Jeez. They closed one of their shop. And the shop is located, let me get the information here. This is located in North Texas, right? So one thing that Custom Ink said that they will look to take care of the people that was there. And one of the ways they're going to take care of the people is they're going to give them 26 weeks of severance pay. And they're going to help them find jobs if that's something that they need. And they're going to pay part of their healthcare while this is going on. But to see that a major company like this is cutting 200 jobs around this time, it's crazy. What do you think about this? Put your opinion in the comment.
Yeah, it's scary to me because, you know, a company of this size isn't going to do this because they're having a bad single month. So they saw a downward trend, you know, starting back in the summer or maybe even the spring, and they ultimately came to this decision. It's possible that maybe they did find outsourcing partners that they decided was cheaper than having the in-house labor and maybe were dumb and it's not about their actual gross revenue going down. But it seems like a negative sign to me. The articles we were able to look into it with didn't have like details as to what they were actually thinking as to the cause. But from what I've heard inside the industry, a lot of people are flat or down on the year. So I'm assuming that is the same thing going on inside of Custom Ink. And that's what's caused this layoff. So it's a kind of a scary time to be in the industry because it seems like the pie might be getting smaller overall.
Yeah. I think with them, since they are more of a tech company than, say, a print shop.
Right.
Because a lot of tech companies, what they do is they overhire. They overhire to just build like their whole, you know, go to market strategy. They hire just to get a lot of sales in. And that's part of the plan actually for a lot of these tech companies. And then later on just downsize. And a lot of tech companies did that right around when that whole bank fiasco happened.
Where Silicon Valley Bank.
Silicon Valley. Just right before that, a lot of just tech companies was downsizing. This probably was just a delayed effect on that. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be good to know that it's not necessarily related to the industry as a whole. Yeah. In the other news of kind of business drama, there's a investigation that just came out on the CoffeeZilla channel. I don't know if you've ever seen him on YouTube, but he's this guy doing investigative journalism, mostly about scam artists. So a lot of it's like guys scamming with cryptocurrency. But he just did a massive report on Revolt/Misfits, and they were huge in the YouTuber merch game. Basically, what happened was there's now serious allegations against Ryan Piacente, the CEO of merchandising from Revolt. And the company reportedly has made $20 million in its annual revenue through merchandising sales, but it's accused of defrauding major creators, including Mr. Beast. So Sante has said to have employed an unsustainable business model that used new sales to cover all his old debts. He also allegedly indulged in an excessive lifestyle, spending on private jets and extravagant residences, all with company funds. Furthermore, there's additional accusations from employees that we don't necessarily have to get into, but they're not great. And there's a massive misuse of business funds for explicit photographs as well that have been found in the documentation. So at this point, it seems like it's the complete downfall of the company. And I just wonder what you think, Gavin, about these merch management companies that are bringing in massive gross top line revenue because they're managing these stores. And then they're responsible to be paying out these influencers, sometimes with multi-million dollar deals, I've heard.
Yeah.
What happens in these sorts of situations where a company's probably going bankrupt and basically they just lived on lies for a few years?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's solving a real thing. Like, think about it. If you are an influencer, you probably don't want to manage your merch or any of that. So it's solving a real problem, right? So I think literally the business model has to be like solid, and it has to be, of course, run by a reputable person. It looked like in this case, the problem was the person more so than the business model, more so than anything. Cause, just based on what I saw in the video, he has this personality where he likes a lot of excess.
Yeah.
He just likes to show that he is wealthy. He wants to like be with the cool kids and stuff like that. He gives away a lot of the cash. So that was just purely mismanagement of people's trust, people's money.
They said one of the houses they were renting in LA was $20,000 a week.
Yeah.
Even a month.
Yeah, it's
so they were going for it.
Yeah, it's that internet money, man. Like, once you start making that internet money, it kind of feels like it's always going to be there. And you could just, like, really the work that you did to make that money wasn't real work anyway. At least it feels like that, right? So you don't have true appreciation for that money. But I feel like a lot of, like, these businesses, if they're, like, they get professionalized, they have proper management, it could be done. It is like high risk in the sense where, at least for the creators, like they're trusting you to sell their stuff without like, and they're you using their name. So like you could really just like trash their name and trash their reputation because their fan base don't even know that it's not the creator. The fan base think is like, you just suck, man. Like you talking all this crazy good game on your YouTube channel, and then I order a shirt from you. I don't get it. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that was one of the things that they talked about. And it's, I mean, this is actually the part that felt like a legitimate problem that wasn't maybe fraud. But they were talking about orders from 2021-22 having never arrived. Jeez. So besides the fact that they didn't pay out the influencer, which is essentially stealing the influencer's cut.
Yeah.
They also just blatantly weren't doing a very good job of managing, like, you know, a print on demand or a merch management company. So you would think like a lot of people go down just because they have a hard time keeping up with the demand. And that part of it, I kind of understand more. But it goes over the top when he just straight up is screwing over the creators, and it's going to give a bad taste in their mouths for the entire industry. I wonder if we're going to see any of these creators, especially when you're talking somebody as massive as Mr. Beast, just be like, you know what? Screw it. In-house. Like, we're going to buy a 50 or 75,000 square foot facility. I'm going to control all the employees. I'm going to do all the merch. But he might just be like, if we're talking this many millions of dollars in merch sales, I can't mess with somebody being the secondary business. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of twists the whole market.
Yeah. At a certain point, it might. And it's so easy now, right? Because like now all you need is some space, some heat press, and some super colors or some ETF, right? And you're in the game. Yeah. You're in the game.
Basically. I mean, imagine, I'm sure Rum has gotten some of those calls where it's like, hey, I need 250,000 transfers. And it probably wouldn't be a problem since their infrastructure's gotten so much bigger.
Yeah. All right, let me share this with you. So lately, there's been a lot of problem with just like board of directors being like taking a lot of hits. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you guys follow the story with OpenAPI. There was some big issues going on with them where they felt the board of director made some not good decision that was like protecting the investors. Microsoft fired back. So they had to bring back the CEO. Recently, we had a conversation about Gildan within our industry where the CEO, the former CEO of Gildan, and a lot of investors that invest in Gildan feel like the board of director overstepped their boundaries. So there's like a lot of heat right now on people that like serve on boards, right? So I'm telling you this to say there's a one of our industry's company, Hanes. They are now revamping their board. I'm not sure if this is in reaction to what's going on. They're adding new members to their board. So Hanes, which operate in the promotional product industry as a supplier of Hanes Champion Comfort Color and Alternative Apparel, they have appointed William S. Simon to serve as the chairman of their board. And this was effective as of December 31st, 2023. Yeah. Hmm. What do you think? What do you think about like all these shakeups that's going on and these different boards? And by the way, William has a lot of experience. He's been board of directors from different companies before. So he's coming into this. He did some stuff at Walmart. He also did some stuff here at Talent and Compensation Committee, is what they're saying. Like, what do you think about these boards? Is that even like a, I'm guessing it is a necessary thing for a corporate structure. What's your thought on it?
I mean, with the boards, it is interesting that, you know, the leader of the company can potentially butt heads with them. Yeah. You go back to like that classic Steve Jobs example of Apple kicking him out and then him kind of wandering in the desert for however many years before he finally came back and was triumphant and then basically just fired the people that fired him. And the Sam Altman situation was also fascinating because everyone found out that like OpenAI basically was Sam Altman. So when the board tried to kick him out, even the employees, I think they had close to 70% of the entire employee list say that they were going to leave with Sam and go anywhere he went. And then Microsoft was like, well, he's going to come to us. So like, it is interesting that you can have these massive shakeups in these $1 billion companies, basically because of like, I'm guessing a lot of personal drama and conflicts about how people are going to spend money, spend investment, build revenue. And if it's true that some of these companies are having a smaller amount of increased revenue than they're expecting, now they have to report to shareholders why they're flat or why they're below expectations. Sure. And then you have somebody who has to be the scapegoat, or you have to bring in new blood and be like, hey, this new blood's got the answer because he talks real good. Yeah. So I don't know enough about the Hanes situation to have any real insight on it. But it is kind of interesting to see these news updates because you figure there's so much back in drama by the time we read this like 600 word article.
It is. Yeah. It's, I think wherever there's money and power, that's always going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. That just, it just creates the perfect environment for squabbles to happen, for personality clash to happen, right? So, and it's always sense like even the whole Gildan situation is like, it's like, wow, you know, we expect these people to be like super professional, like,
right,
like the adults in the room, like they always say, but it's just their people, man. they want money and power.
Yeah. Well, in other news, did I tell you that we got a new logo character?
No, you didn't tell me.
So the new logo for Shirt Agency is a character called Mickey Mouse. Okay. More specifically, Steamboat Willie. Steamboat Willie, along with Tigger from Winnie the Pooh, have just entered the public domain, which means starting January 1st, 2023, everybody has fair use on the material. Apparently, there is a Mickey Mouse horror video game coming out. I've already looked it up online, and there is absolutely Mickey Mouse products being sold on t-shirts already that are illegal. Well, they were illegal. They are now legal. If you guys want to start playing with Mickey Mouse for your product line, some things to note. You can only use Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse. So, no white gloves. No color. So, the iconic colors like the red and the gold button and stuff. None of that's allowed. And then, why did I have balloons? I'm confused.
I don't know
balloons.
What happened. I think, and if you say a word, the AI picks it up.
I guess. So then, besides that, so no colors, no white gloves. And then also, Mickey has no voice. So if you are doing like advertisements with Mickey and start doing a Mickey voice, they can get you on the copyright for the voice. But they can't get you on the fact that it is Mickey's face. So pretty interesting to see these massive, wildly valuable IPs be hitting the public domain, because basically no time in history did that matter. Most powerful IPs, when you're talking about like maybe a Peter Pan or an Alice in Wonderland, besides the family estate, there wasn't some massive entity controlling those intellectual properties. And now with Mickey, all of a sudden you have the biggest company in entertainment losing control of their property. So what do you think about that? Are you going to start your new Steamboat Willie line?
So it's funny you say that, right? Because I was so I'm in Mexico, and my family and I, we went out for the weekend, and we was passing in front of a shopping area where they have different businesses. And it was a doctor's like type of medical type of building. And they had a statue of Mickey Mouse.
Nice.
I was like, huh, I'm sure. I don't know if Disney would come down here and mess with them.
Right.
But I'm sure that Disney probably would have some problem with them just using their character like that. So what I think about it. Yeah, that's great. I think it's great in the sense where I think all of the world's ideas are the world's ideas. You get to use it for a certain time, 20, 30 years. Yeah, let the rest of the world share it. And that, right? Because that idea came from another idea, came from another idea, that came from another idea, right? Yes, it's your idea while you craft it, and you have a certain protection for a certain period of time, but like hogging it for eternity? Come on, man. That's crazy. So I think it is a good thing.
Well, Disney actually fought this, because I think Mickey was originally up in sometime in the 80s, and they prolonged it over and over with additional legislation up until 95 years. So now the copyright runs 95 years as long as you reapply it.
Mm. So that's what I was thinking too. I'm like, I'm sure they had a game plan like on Disney side to like not prevent this, or to prevent this from happening, just because of like probably like precedent that it may create. And it's probably going to be like a wild, wild west. Like, what, as soon as it hits like the internet, people are just going to go crazy with it. Merch, product, such a well-known name. It could make so much money so fast for people that hits it right.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what'll happen, because what I heard about YouTube, because this has only been happening for one day, basically, but people are purposely putting up Mickey Mouse content on YouTube, and YouTube's own content moderation policies are striking it as copyrighted stuff. So YouTube's policies haven't been updated to understand that certain uses of Mickey are allowed. So there could be some corporate nonsense where it's like, yeah, you might legally be allowed to use Steamboat Willie, but are you capable of fighting Disney in court and like getting the lawyers actually going, and like, how much money are you making off your bootleg Mickey to even justify the headache that they can apply to you?
Yeah.
And there's any of these small alterations, like him being in color or him having a voice under different copyrights. So because of that, Mickey Mouse is exclusively this one weird old version. And you know that Disney's going to defend every other version that's out there.
Yeah.
So there's an element of like, is there actually money to be made? Probably not. There's going to be some fun stuff that happens, but I don't think anyone will make real money out of it.
Dude, it's going to go wild on Etsy and Amazon merch. Watch it.
Yeah.
Watch. It's going to go wild for probably a short period of time, and then Disney's going to make an example out of somebody, and everybody's going to, okay, let me just chill.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So what else do we have in the news? Do you have any other stories for us?
That's it for now. There's some other stuff that's popping up on my thing. Then once I get them kind of cleaned up, then I'll probably do something separate on that. But for now, that's it. What I've been doing in my since it's been kind of slow, and it's been kind of like just using the holiday period, which we should be using anyway to be with family. That's what we should be using the holiday period for. But I did take a lot of time just to like onboard a couple of new people. That will help us just like professionalize the business. One on the operational side and another one on the marketing side. So a lot of strategy work, a lot of like messaging work on the marketing side, like rolling out a new website, stuff like that. Oh, that's all in the works. So that's what I use my time for. I'm actually real curious what other shop owners do when they have all this free time in their hand. Do they actually take the free time and just use it and for family like they're supposed to? Or do they actually are like me behind a laptop all day trying to figure things out?
I mean, I always get restless. I blatantly didn't do anything for like 7 days, but at this point I'm restless. So if we have a slow start to January, I'm just going to assume I have to panic and scramble and work. I'm not going to stay at this pace any longer. So I'm ready to like go back to work full time. And normally what I end up doing is like aggressive marketing or aggressive like website redesign or whatever, just to like even keep myself busy. I wonder what you think about these cold calling strategies, the way that people are reaching out to me. From what I understand, there's this new email system, maybe not too new. It's new to me, where, you know, MailChimp is the mass email, the legal way to mass email people without hopefully hitting their spam folder. And there's similar products to MailChimp where you're sending, you know, your list of 5,000 clients the same email. But there's these email systems that I've seen where they have automations in them, but they send singular emails. So they warm up these emails so that they don't hit spam filters.
Yeah.
And so it'll be variations on your company. So it would be like Gavin at the Seps or Gavin at Seps Sales or whatever.
Yeah, and then
they do these trickle emails where they're not sending it to thousands. They're sending it to one person, but they're sending it to one person every 3 minutes, 24 hours a day. So you're still hitting hundreds or thousands of people as if you were the most efficient person ever typing.
Yeah.
And these automations fire off in ways that are supposed to kind of like trick the spam. And I wonder what your opinion is on that. Like, is it kind of black hat, dirty? Like, does it feel spammy and obnoxious? Or is it really just you being more efficient as a salesperson? Because if you were working your ass off emailing these emails directly with your own fingers, is that somehow more legit than you automating it? What are your thoughts on it?
I lean towards more it's business. You got to do what you got to do as a business entity to get in front of your customer or your potential customer, right? Because on the other side, on the customer side, the customer has a lot of controls already because half of those emails are going to end up in spam anyway, right? Just like as a default. So on the business side, let's say you send 1,000, 400 end up on spam. Like, you're not really like reaching the customer anyhow. Two, I think, like, especially with the way AI is playing out, it's gonna make this so flooded. Like, there's so much more emails gonna go out that if you don't play that game, like yourself, at least right now, you're like, nah, you gotta be part of the noise, I guess. That's what I'm feeling. So as far as the strategy, like to do the different inbox, yeah, a lot of people are doing that. To like, for example, shirtagency.co, searchagency.com, searchagency.net, the shirt agency, shirt.agency. So a lot of folks just that just to make sure that their branding or their brand name is showing through. But on the technical side, it kind of tricks the email algorithm, like the providers, so they don't blacklist you. So I think shops should do it, because like, I know there's a lot of shop, well, I don't want to spam anybody. I don't want to cold call anybody. And I feel that. I feel like I don't want to cold call anybody because it feels yucky. But at the same time, you got to feed your family and you got to feed your team. Right. And how are you going to do that if you don't get your message out? Right. Because you could do the brand building and marketing aspect, which is like social media, do the website, do a whole just like that takes so long to just do that. It takes forever for you to like build a brand that is like reputable and that people will navigate to, although they have thousands of options. The quickest way for you to like grow your business is through sales and sales activities and sales actions that you're doing. And these emails are the way to do it right now. And it's getting so easy. I heard about this company. I think they emailed me or somebody told me about it. I'm not sure. It's called like B2B Rocket. So it's a, okay. Yeah, it's an AI tool that's doing a lot of your outreach for you in the background. And it's using AI to like customize the message and landing a thing on your calendar, a book meeting on your calendar. And it was like the number one product on Product Hunt. So it's literally, it's working. That's what that means to me. It's working. People are getting a lot of value from it. And a lot of people just thought it was a great thing. So yeah, that's my opinion.
I wonder what that's going to mean for being like an outside sales rep. Does that mean that outside sales reps will increase their output by using these tools? Or does it mean that outside sales reps will become irrelevant because you simply don't need as many because this outreach is doing a better job, especially as AI audio gets better because it's getting really, really good. AI cold calling. Right now, I'll get like a really bad kind of pre-recorded bot. Mm. But when that AI cold calling hits and it's going to be like, Gavin, hey, bud, I was looking at your Instagram. It looks amazing. I just wanted to reach out because I feel like I could help you with this. Do you want to set up a meeting? I'm sorry to bug you right now, but I'd love to talk. And then you talk and then it responds intelligently. When that hits, it does exist in some forms, but right now it's a little bit not good. But when that hits on a higher level, it's going to be so difficult to be just your average ass outside sales rep who shows up and is like, hey, I wanted to help you. So I'm just wondering what that's going to look like. Like I have the paid ChatGPT on my phone and you can right now just have a conversation back and forth with it. And there's maybe a 15-second delay where it like processes. So applying that into some sort of cold calling workflow is going to be wild, especially if you train it on your own company data. Yeah. So a customer could get a cold call and be like, how much is a Gildan 5000 with a 2-color front, 3-color back? Can you guys do it under $8? And then it answers, we can do that for $761. Like, for it to just automatically do that, which right now with like ScreenPrint GPT, I've been seeing they already put in price lists and stuff. So you could create your own data, a fact sheet off of that, and then have it be audio based. And customers could have conversations with a bot that does a better job than any like random receptionist you're going to hire.
Check this out.
It would be, it's going to be wild.
So when that bot calls you, that bot is going to know what time of the day it is. And it's going to know, hey, if it's morning time, your energy's up. So the bot's going to elevate their voice tone to match your voice tone. They're going to be able to pick that up, which a human takes time to process. So they could like literally just connect with you at your level, wherever you are, right? They're going to have all the information about your social media, right? So they will see all your posts that you've done from post number one to post number three. So they have a good story about you. They could tell you, hey, oh, your wedding was on 3 years ago. How's your wife? Like, you guys got some kids already? Stuff like that. I'm like, what? Right? So it's going to be so unfair for a salesperson. But I think what's going to happen is humans are going to be more valuable. Like, just the act of being a human, or just like, I could relate to you. I could have this conversation. Like, and I know it's authentic, and I know it's going through a human vessel. It's going through a human brain that's not like fed artificial information. That will rise to the top. And once people start like, oh, is that an AI? I'm tuning you out. You're not real. At least that's how I would react to it. Cause like, I'll know that that AI knows artificial information or maybe too much information. And I'll feel creepy about that.
I mean, it'll be creepy, but also, you know, there's two types of business. And I think it always becomes this thing where it's like the craftsman and the small business. And like, you know, you can get the most insane, beautiful table on the planet made by Jim. Yeah. And Jim's going to spend 7 weeks on your table. Yeah. And he's going to charge you $11,000 for the most ungodly, incredible $11,000 dining room table. And everyone agrees that Jim is the best version of a table maker. But he gets the shit kicked out of him when you're talking about numbers and he goes up against IKEA. And so there's going to be this thing where, yes, some people will rise to the top as this personal experience, but large companies like a Custom Ink, if they can implement chatbots that are blatantly better than customer service that kind of wants to quit, they're just going to do it.
They are.
They just will do it. They're going to do it. And so it's just kind of like what it will be. Like, there will be a lot of job loss I think, because of it.
Yeah, I saw this video on just AI, the AI revolution is what people are calling it, like the people that's like leading this conversation. And the picture that they paint is right now, like in phase one or phase two of AI, that's going to be a lot of carnage. Like people, because like we're so used to like tradition and like having, like for example, you have to work for money, right? To provide for your family. But imagine if there's a world where you don't have to work for money. You just get to do what a human was originally made to do, which is just live. Supposedly, right? So then you get to be artistic, whatever, but it's not through the lens of commerce. It's just through the lens of like, let's just live, right? So that's the position of like, hey, phase one, phase two, phase three, a lot of people are going to be hurt because traditionally we just have to, we wake up, do the 9 to 5, but how, like in Utopia, the AI is going to do everything for you. It's going to do all the chores. Your house is it's going to build your house. It's going to build your house. It's going to keep your house upkeep. It's going to do your food. It's going to print your shirts. And you just get to live, right? Which is 2,000 years from now.
Yeah, I think that sounds like the movie Up, where we all just do absolutely nothing. Because the thing is, throughout all of history, no matter what new technology comes along, like once you get to the Industrial Revolution and stuff, and all these people are freaking out because now there's an automated loom, things like that. Mm-hmm. There always was a new thing for humans to decide to apply themselves to. Mm-hmm. So it'll be something like that where we find kind of new jobs to give ourselves. Mm-hmm. We'll probably all just be on OnlyFans, but at least we're making money. And then besides that, you know, the other thing is like, do you control the thing that's automating all of the production? Because if you control the t-shirt factory that has no employees and you're in control of it, then that's awesome. Like, let's get rid of every employee and let's just print money and I'll
maybe
just,
you don't need
like,
control.
Never pay well, somebody again.
Like control but, is a different
question. Because if you don't control it and you don't own it, you will make no money. So that disparity between it have and have nots will get more extreme. Yeah. So instead of needing your employees because you can't do it alone, as you start automating and pulling away from that, your employees won't necessarily have somewhere else to go, but there will be owners who are just like absolutely killing.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. And I think certain companies will be really cutthroat about it because they'll have insane amounts of investment.
Yeah.
And a lot of this is really far off, but it's amazing how efficient certain warehouses I've been to have gotten. Like I've been to certain manufacturers where they'll do like millions and millions of dollars in sales even weekly.
Yeah.
And they have like 80 people in the building.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hell yeah.
Like you really don't need that many people once you have all these automated tools and you have automated picking and you have a massive, incredible output system and you have these conveyor belts that move the boxes from place to place without a person touching them. Like, as the automation gets better and better, you really don't need that many people to run a business.
Yeah. Amazon. That's what.
Yeah. Amazon's the ultimate example of it.
Exactly. Yeah, man. That's so cool.
We should remind the people that ISS Long Beach is coming up. So we've got the Simple Solutions class that we're going to be doing. Yeah. And that's going to be really good. You and me need to continue updating it. Yeah. But it looks really good so far, what we've done. Even if you went to it in Fort Worth, mm-hmm. we suggest you come back to hear some of the new tips and tricks that we've got hidden in there. And then I'll also be doing the AI panel with a lot of great guests like Bruce from Printavo and Steven from Campus Inc. We also have John from Terminus Tees. And I believe John is going to be on this next week on the podcast. So we'll get to talk to him, Gavin.
Oh, nice.
So it'll be really fun to start doing the trade show thing and seeing a lot of people in person. And we hope we can see you in the classes.
So if you are heading to Long Beach, California to ISS trade show, join us, me and Cole, and our class, Simple Systems and AI Tool to Modernize Your Print Shop. So in this class, what we're going to talk about is really the systems that you need to really simplify your business. We also going to share with you some of the AI tools that you could use right now to better use your time and to really just leverage those so you could run a more efficient business. Cole has a whole suite of tools that he uses and a lot of just different real world examples that you're going to be able to take. I have this system that I use to run my business and I'm happy to share it. It has really saved me a lot of time. And one other thing that makes this class special is the fact that it's a class that is done by actual screen printers that understand the business, not just talking heads that are just talking about theories. We're going to share with you exactly what we do. We're not saying that we're the best at this. We're saying, take a look at what we're doing and see how you could apply it in your business. Simple system and AI tools to help modernize your screen printing shop. Join us, register for the class. So for the folks that's heading to ISS, well, Impression, which is in January, what are you guys looking forward to? Like, this is probably the biggest trade show for screen printers to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, I just love seeing the newest equipment. Mm-hmm. And so getting to see what people are working on. I know that there's a lot of people doing these carousel heat presses. So I want to see what the price points are like on those now. And then besides that, it's just fun to meet up with everybody and see the newest blanks trends, because some of these new products that I've seen a few previews of are really exciting. It seems like heavyweight, kind of that AS color style is what a lot of the wholesale companies are trying to compete with now. So it'll be fun to see that trend. Also, I wonder how those trends will change and kind of fall off. I mean, a few years ago, we were all talking about scalloped tails on men's shirts, and nobody sells those at all anymore. So it's fun to go and see like what people are expecting to do well, and then also what items they need to just stop carrying. And then besides that, I just know so many people that it's fun to catch up.
Being in this one room where you just, hey, what's up, buddy? Hey, what's up, buddy? Hey, what's going on? That's that feeling. It's just the most amazing thing. And that's one of the cool things about this industry, really, is like everybody's just so, for the most part, is relaxed about themselves. They are willing to just have a simple conversation with you, share what they know. That's a lot of industries don't have that. I'll tell you, like, having been in a couple of different industries in my life, other industries, they are very like tight-lipped. They keep all the secrets. It just doesn't feel authentic when you talk to some other folks. But in the industry, you do feel where it is more authentic. You are able to just regularly just talk to somebody and just connect with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can definitely come by and connect with us. We're going to be at Gavin Sepp's booth, which will be over in the area next to Rock. Yeah. So come on by. We're going to do some of the podcast stuff live. We're also going to try to do some live Q&A during the podcast because we think it'd be interesting to have people who are newer to the industry ask questions, and we can bring in guests from some of our favorite brands. And then that way we can have a back and forth discussion live on the show floor. So we're excited to see everyone there. Please remember to like, subscribe, leave a comment on the podcast. Tell us that you actually listen, and have a good week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.